Good morning and welcome in, everybody. Today, we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:1 says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. You know, the word preach means to teach publicly, like publicly teach. For example, women are forbidden from teaching in any capacity, whether it's the word of God or anything else. Teaching is a prerogative of men only. And in society today, because of gender things going on, a lot of women don't like hearing that, but that's what the Bible teaches. They may teach their girls how to love each other and love one another, and but a lot of times the women are to do this by being a role model for them. But once again, preaching is publicly teaching, and whether it's in your church building, whether it's at the park, in your car, or even in your own home. Preaching goes on wherever two or three are gathered in his name. I mean, that's church. Nowadays, women have stepped into roles that are forbidden to them by God. Now, if I was a woman, I'd probably stay home all day and make cookies and fresh bread for my family. And I think that would be a lot of fun for them. But I'm a man, and my responsibilities are completely different. Men of God need to rise up and preach the word. After all, Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Only men can teach and further the gospel of Christ. Women can support preachers out of their substance, just as they did for Jesus. Let the women walk in their calling, and you men out there must rise up and walk in yours. Preach the word. Acts 8:25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Acts 15, verse 35, Paul, Saul, and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. Titus 1, verse 3 says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Paul commanded Timothy to reprove, and when you reprove somebody, it means to correct somebody in a gentle way. Now, if a child came up to you weeping and then explained to you that they did something wrong, you probably reprove them gently. This is because they've already manifested contrition and have accepted the fault of what they did. You'd restore them meekly because they are penitent already. The point being, reproofs are done in a more gentle manner. Look at John 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Ephesians 5, verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, it says to rebuke, and to rebuke somebody is to express strong disapproval for correction. Now, it's normally done sternly to correct somebody's behavior or their actions. Jesus had to go into the temple and throw over tables. Now, that's a pretty strong rebuke. Think of a child that you care about very much, but they begin running out into heavy traffic on highway. How sternly would you rebuke their behavior? Many parents would scream at them because they wouldn't want them getting killed. It's done because you love them. Rebukes are done with great firmness in order to correct something that's wrong in somebody's life. The church is a place of spiritual correction where people are going to occasionally need firm discipline to correct their behavior because they're going the wrong way, obviously. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. 1 Timothy 5, verse 20, Yeah, verse 20. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. What he's talking about there is, you're not supposed to show favoritism within the church body. Everybody needs to be treated the same. Whatever sin presents itself, it needs to be quickly corrected. Okay. Titus 1 verse 13 says, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, the word exhort, when you exhort somebody, is to strongly encourage them to do something. Now, for example, a boss at work might do this when he says, hey, well done, keep up the hard work. And when the church is being obedient and doing the will of God, then they need to be encouraged to keep it up. Good works are rewarded with praise and accolades. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And 1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. The truth needs to be constantly preached, because some people are going to start to believe a lie instead. That's going on all over it in the world today. They'll start to allow the influences of the world to affect their relationship with God. Andrew and my wife can testify that I've taught for 20 years that women teaching is probably the biggest heresy going on today. And the ones that really don't last in the Christian faith are going to heap to themselves teachers, most of which are women. It's probably because the real men of God eventually left their own false church anyway, so they don't have much men to work with. You see what I'm saying? A heap is to have a lot of something. Kind of like when you heap up mashed potatoes on your plate for dinner. Look at all the religious instruction going on in the world. See for yourself. It's being done by a lot of women. Rather than believing the truth, they turn their ears away, choosing to walk in their own sinful and immoral, rebellious lifestyle instead. The worst part, is that they teach all these precious little girls growing up to sin against God, to go against God. You see what I'm saying? That's exactly what the devil did in the Garden of Eden to Eve. Woe unto them. Teaching is something that has been granted to men by God, and it begins by teaching your own families. It is a male prerogative, so all you men out there need to get up, rise to the occasion, get out there, and start preaching the word. So let's think about those things for right now. We can start, we can be found on your web browser by searching TLKJBC, where you can find our diaries distributed through various platforms. We're not associated nor affiliated with any other religious groups, and you can get our entire podcast feeds directly along with transcripts at TLKJBC.com. Or I suppose you could find us somewhere up here in the great northern Minnesota woods. Peace to you all. And Lord willing, we'll talk with you some more tomorrow. Till then, bye-bye, everybody.